Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Hey, hey, welcome. Don't mind me. I was just getting into this. Hey, welcome. Glad you guys are here. Hey, we've been joining live stream. We've got live stream people in the house, in their house, but in our house. So let's make some noise for them. Can we do that? Do that. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we got Metro, our second campus. Let's make some noise. What is up? What is up? All right. Anybody want to take a guess on the series, the topic that we're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks? Anybody have an idea of like what could it be? Anybody?
Courageous.
Yes. Yes, we're talking about that. In fact, it came out of really the intention for the year for us, as I talked about last week. So last week, we kicked off a conversation about this idea of setting your intention for the year. And so I asked you guys to get a word. If you got one of these, and if you didn't get it because you missed last week, you should grab that. You don't necessarily need this, but I think it's so important for us to set the intention for the year. So I just love it because people got all kinds of things they're doing. On Instagram, people all over the world actually have been DMing me or putting comments on my post about this, and people are really getting into this. I love it. You got all kinds of words like self, unleashed, woo, okay, margin, simplicity, release, grace. I mean, you got all kinds of stuff, and this is great. So for me, my word was courageous. And so I think we need to talk about this idea of doing all the things that we feel like God's calling us to do, but we got to have courage to actually do all these things. So that's why I want to talk about courageous. What does it mean for you to live courageous lives and to actually step into the things that God has called us to? Now, courageous, the word courageous means so many things for so many people, right? It really does. I mean, sometimes we think of fear, like conquering fear. Like, for example, how many of you would say, like, you have no issues with snakes? Snakes. Where are my snake people at? I don't even know if I should say that at church, by the way. I shouldn't say that. If you're a guest here, we don't do that. It's not going to happen. Not gonna happen. Sorry to disappoint. Yeah. How many of you guys are terrified by snakes? Right, terrified. So I was terrified by snakes. I don't even know if I should say if I am or not. Anyways, I decided, you know what? I'm gonna conquer my fear. I'm gonna get me a snake. I did. Ashley, my wife, actually gave me a snake for my birthday a couple of years ago. It was a corn snake. I don't know if you know, it's very deadly. Not really. It's not. It's more like a lizard. But anyways, it was a snake, okay? It was a real snake, actually. It grew pretty long and pretty big, and it was pretty interesting. Called it, it was a name for it, obviously. It's a pet, part of the family, whatever. I called it Saeed the snake, yes. Now, some of you guys are going, Saeed, what kind of name is that? It's Middle Eastern, like me. So I'm not going to have a pet's name called Nick. I'm like, that's just goofy. Right? Gotta be authentic. It's a Pakistani snake. No, it wasn't. But my family actually called it Snakey Snake, which was so degrading. And he died of a broken heart. But he didn't die. But I did get a snake. Here's the problem. I don't know if I conquered that fear by having a snake. Because snakes still freak me out. They just do. And I think, like, when we talk about courage, it's not as cute as, like, having, like, what you fear and conquering some of your fears. I think it's actually moving out of a place of maybe even being uncomfortable. Like, so this morning, we huddled together. We always huddle all the teams at Mosaic at both campuses. We all huddle up. And Caleb Cavazos, who leads our huddle on Sunday mornings here for production and worship, he talked about this idea of being courageous and talked about actually stepping out of what is stepping into uncomfortable situations, like having the willingness, having the courage just to step into just uncomfortable projects, arenas, spaces, versus just conquering fear. And I think that's really important to understand, is that it's more than just like, oh, the things we're afraid of. No, it's actually moving out of a lot of different things, because courage for each of us is very different. So my big question here is could God be calling you to something that it requires you to, besides being close to him, besides kind of being clear about some things, no, you actually have the ability to be courageous. So what will you attempt this year? What is God calling you to attempt? And it could be as simple as is connected to your physical body. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. Maybe it's psychological. But what is it for you? So here's what I want to do. I want to pray for us, and then we'll get started. Let's do that. Lord God, I thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, God, that as we are gathered in different spaces here, God, at Metro, I just thank you. I just thank you for people who are at that campus, God, who walked in, who found community, who understand, Lord God, that you are in their life. I thank you that your presence is so thick there. I know, God, that you have no limits when it comes to space and time. And so I thank you for live stream people who are just tuning in, maybe driving somewhere, maybe going somewhere, doing another activity that they're supposed to do. Maybe, God, even my friend from China who's tuning in. God, regardless where the people are, I thank you for your presence. And God, in this space as well. God, I pray that you would lead us, that we would hear your voice. And Father, I pray you would erase the boundaries that we've put in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's jump into our passage. It's the main passage is in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Joshua, So I'll read that to you. The book of Joshua starts off, and it's very clear what's happened. So let's jump into it. All right. So it starts off, verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun. Okay, he says, who was Moses' aide. Now, let me give you the context. Joshua was the guy who was Moses' secondhand guy, right? So if you guys remember Moses is the guy who got people out of Egypt. Remember that, right? Yo, let my people go, right? That whole story. Okay, so that happened. Okay, why are you laughing? It's biblical, okay? I know, it's cute. But anyways, so they moved out. And I don't know if you know this, but they kind of went out of Egypt, and they could have gotten a direct route to where God was telling them to go towards, because they were moving out of Egypt into Israeli territory, but they took a detour. In fact, I'll show you a map. Okay, I'll show you a map, and it's pretty fascinating when you look at this map that you'll see, oh, wow, what's going on here? Okay, so check out this map right here. Okay, so this is what they could have done, right? So they're leaving from that side right there. It's called the Bitter Lakes. They're leaving from there, going away all the way to Jerusalem. So leaving Egypt, going there. Now, if you noticed, it could be an easier way to get there, right? Right? There's a straight shot. Just a couple of wilderness right there, you know, and then, you know, right there. But they take the, they obviously, you know, they mapped it, and then it started rerouting. Has that happened? So they started rerouting. And so they were like, we're going to go to Mount Sinai. Which is always great. Have you ever met a driver who's driving? You're like, where are you going? Anyways, so then they went there, and then they did a loop-de-loop, I guess, or something like that. And then they ended up there. Now, it took them about 40 years or so. And part of the problem is that when they left, God said, hey, I'm calling you out. Let's go. Moses was going to take them. And then a lot of things happened. A lot of the books of the Bible happened too, where you hear all kinds of crazy stories, fascinating stories. But part of the problem was that in the middle of that, when they left, God said, hey, here's the place I want you to get to. And they sent out 12 spies to go check out the land. They came back, And they were gone for 40 days. And they came back, and all the spies, besides just two people, all the spies were like, no, this is not going to happen. If you remember that, they were like, hey, there are giants there. This is not going to work. It's not going to work. And they actually just ruined God's reputation, but they just ruined the plans. They started gossiping. I mean, that's the worst. That will take down anything. People talking about people behind their backs will take down any strong organization, church, whatever, family, all that stuff. It took down a lot of people. And then God said, okay, guess what I'm going to do? None of you are going to make it to that place. None of you guys are going to go there. So they went 40 years. And what's fascinating about this is that out of the about a million people who left Egypt, there are only two people left that they actually went into and reached sort of their promised land. Only two people. One guy was Caleb, and the other guy was, anybody know? Starts with a J. Joshua. Only two guys left, people who left Egypt. Amazing that happened. So let's just jump in. Let's keep on going. Verse 2, it says, So God talks to Joshua and says, hey, Moses is my servant. Moses is what? Dead. Say it out loud. He's what? Dead. He what? Dead. He's what? Dead. He is dead. He is dead, which is interesting because they all knew that. But I think there's more to the story. He's dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River, which is now a pretty unique situation here, Jordan River, into the land that I'm about to give to them. Go to the Israelites, okay, that I'm about to give, yeah. Then verse 3, he says, I will give you every place, okay? Now, I want you to focus on this, okay? I will give you every place where you, what? Set your foot. As I promised Moses. So every place, I will give you every place where you set your foot. So every place you set your foot, I what? Give you. So the reverse of that, every place you do not set your foot, you don't get. You don't get. Which is fundamentally very different theology where you might have grown up in. Because God's like, I'm going to be with you, I promise you, but it actually depends on you as well. So we keep on reading here. It's interesting. Verse 4 says, your territory. Then God says, let me tell you my dream. My dream is this. Your territory will extend from the deserts of Lebanon and from the great river, Euphrates River, all the way to the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And then he says this. No one. Who? No one. No one, no one will be able to stand against you. All the days of your life, all of the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never what? Leave you, nor what? Forsake you. Help me out. Okay? Verse 6, he says, so what? Be what? Strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the ancestors to give them. So God says, there was a promise I swore to them. Okay, there was a promise. But I need you to do something. Then verse 7, he repeats it again, right? He says what? Be what? Be what? Strong and very courageous. Throws in a little very, like, hey, make sure you do this. He says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Now, let me just focus here, your attention on this. The next couple of verses, he's telling them to do some certain things. He's like, I promise you this. I'm going to provide this. I want you to do this. But here's a couple things I want you to do. He says, be strong and very courageous. But then he says this. He says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. That you may be successful wherever you go. He's giving them something to do. He's like, I want you to keep doing this. It's like kind of a ritual thing. He says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. And then it says, meditate on it what? Day and night, so that you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be what? Prosperous and successful. Strong and courageous, I want you to be. But if you do these things, you'll be what? Prosperous and successful. So then he says, he keeps on going, he says, have I not commanded you, what? Be what? Strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, wherever you go. Now, what's fascinating about this is like when God promises, like, I got a plan for you, I got this for you, I got that for you, and then he goes, by the way, I need you to be strong and courageous. I'm going to be with you. See, to me, I would think, well, if you're going to be with me, why do I need to be strong and courageous? Like, I mean, think about it, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I had a parent, right? I had a parent. And growing up, like, if my dad and mom was with me, guess who I don't need to be strong and courageous. You know why? Because they're what? They're with me. Their presence itself is it takes away responsibility from me. It takes away responsibility. I don't have to do that. I don't have to feel secure and what strong and courageous. Guess what? Because their physical security is there. So what God is saying is, I have something for you. I want you to do something. I'm leading you in a way. And for some of you, it's very particular. It's not this. It's a word that God's given you. It's a direction. It's a project. It's a plan. It's like, I want you to tackle this year. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I'm telling you. But here's the, I'm going to be with you. But I need you to do something. And I need you to be what? Strong and courageous. Why, God? Why? Because you're going to get in the middle of it and you're going to go like, God is not there. Like, I want you to know the things that I've called you to do, the will for your life and that I have for you, that you've thought about, prayed about, and you're scared to just jump into it. Just so you know, it's very clear you have to do this. You should do this. But there will be moments where you're like, God's nowhere to be found. It's like your friend that says, hey, I'm going to be there, and they're never there. Right? Have you ever, like, talked to a friend and you're like, hey, are we going to do this? And they go, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, yeah, yeah is nothing. Okay? Is it a movie? I don't even know what it is. But no. No, no, no. Are you going to be there? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. No, no, no. No, tell me you're going to be there. How many of you would be just honest and saying, you know what? Honestly, Naeem, I don't know if I can relate to this, but I can relate to this idea, and that is, I've been waiting around for God to do some things in my life, and I am still waiting. I am still waiting. Any of you might be possibly waiting around for God to do something. You're like, I'm just waiting, and I know that he's never late. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. I'm waiting for my marriage. I'm waiting for this job. I'm waiting for this situation. I'm waiting for God to do it. I'm waiting. Now, I just wonder, could it be possible that there are certain things in your life, in my life, in our lives, that God will never do for us because he wants to do them through us? Could it be possible? Because I think this story says so much, but it tells us about our spiritual journey. I want you to understand something. Like, before, like, when they got out of Egypt, God was like, you just got out of Egypt, you got out of slavery, I'm going to take care of you, you're my precious, I got you. And if you read the stories, you know. Did they have to look for food? No. It came from the sky. Did they need direction? No. There was a cloud by day, there was a cloud of fire by night. I mean, they had all kinds of, you got Moses, you had all of these things provided for them. All of these things. And it seems like in this chapter, things just fundamentally changed. God starts off by saying, hey, remember Moses? Remember those days? They're dead. They're gone. See, I don't think he's saying, oh, by the way, I'm going to tell you something you already know. He's saying, I want you to sit in this a little bit. I want you to understand, it's not the same anymore. It's over. Here's what's going to happen. Because you're going to now go over. You're going to cross the river. And so here's what Joshua does. He understands this. He goes back to them, and let me just read you what he says to them. He says this. He goes back, and he goes, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people. He says, go through the camp and tell the people. He says, spread the word. Tweet about it. Let everybody know. What is it? Get your what? Supplies ready. Get your, from 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan river to go in and take possession of the land that your Lord, the God, has given you. So basically he's saying is, here's the first thing I want you to tell everybody. Get your stuff together. Well, we're just waiting on dinner to show up. Have you ever wondered what did the first day look like? Like, they had all these dinners provided, right? Food provided. And the day it stopped, you're like, Are we late? Are we late? I told you we were going to be late. The first time there was no cloud, there was no fire. They're like, oh, well, God's gone. God, it's over. It's over. Like, when's that moment where you were waiting around for God and he never showed up? What happened? Because God here tells Joshua, the old days with Moses are dead and gone. It's a new day. And here's what's going to be, it's going to, you're going to signify this by crossing over to the Jordan River. And when you cross over, it changes the game now. Now you go and possess the land. Now you have to do this. Now you got to do this, because here's what I want you to do. I'm going to be with you. I have a promise. I will be with you. But you need to be what? Guess what? I hinted around it a little bit. I didn't even hint. I mentioned it a couple of times. Be what? Be what? Strong and courageous. Because now it's you. It's through you. It's through you. See, the idea of a promised land is pretty fascinating, right? So, like me coming from a different background, a Muslim background, the idea of a promised land, that phrase, people say, okay, I'm just trying to make it to the promised land. The idea of that in the Western world is like this your best life, right? It's like the ideal situation. Like, it's a combination of just not ideal, but everything that God has for you. Like, it's this promised land that God has for you, and I'm just trying to get to it. Like, there is a promised land, there's a space, there's an existence, there's a reality that God has promised you, and you need to step into it. Now, let me just ask you that. What if those words were never supposed to be together? What if there was a promise, and then there was a land? See, your spirituality would look very different then. Because if there's a promise, and the promise is, I will never what? Leave you. I will never leave you. You will walk away. I won't. In fact, if you walk away, I'll probably stalk you. Which is true, isn't it? It's true. God's the ultimate stalker. He's like, I know what you're doing. I would look away, but I can't. You know? I physically can't do it. But I know. So the promise is what? I will be what? I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm more with you than anybody else is. And when everybody says you suck, I say you're amazing. I will never look at you and have a moment that I'm disgusted. I will never have a moment where I refuse to put grace on you. Everybody else will. There's never going to be a moment where that you betray everybody else and people don't trust you. I will still believe in you. So either the promise is a promise. The promise is, wherever you go, I go. But but it depends on you to where you go. Every step you take, I'm there. But if you don't take that step, I'm not going there. And I'm not going to go there and wait for you. See, sometimes we think that's the case. Here's fundamentally the difference. You see, with Moses' time, when God provides, it's a childish faith. It's a child, maybe even like faith, possibly. But it's a relationship with God. It's early on. He's like, hey, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. And see, some of you, if you had a relationship with God and it's been like maybe 10 years, for some of you guys, like, you know, veterans, I mean, it's been 30, 40 years, that's great. Have you noticed? It's changed. If you haven't noticed, you need to notice. The way God treats you and interacts with you your first couple of years is very different. There are things God will do for you early on that he will not do later. And that's why some of us are like, I'm waiting. And he's like, and you know what God's saying? You're too old. You're not a kid anymore. God, why don't you provide? Why don't you make dinner yourself? Have you ever had that moment with a kid? Right? And the kids are shocked. They're like, what? Do it myself? They're making straight A's. But they're like, what is this thing? Microwave? I don't know. It's a fridge and a freezer. What's the difference? You're doing calculus. You don't know how to freaking de-thaw. Oven. You don't, right? Why? It's the concept is like, oh, Oh. So when it went from Moses to Joshua, he's like, by the way, Moses is dead. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to treat you differently. And see, for some of us, what God has for you, it could be as simple as simplicity. It could be as simple as grace. It could be as simple as, or as complicated as starting a new business, or really healing your marriage, or really working on friendships, and really working on your soul a little bit, because you just don't do good with relationships. You're just too self-sufficient. You're just, you know what's going on with you. I don't even have to tell you all the things. I don't have to tell you what's wrong with you because you know. Okay. At some point, God goes, I used to take care of this. I'm not anymore. Now, for some of you, you might be still there. But I think for a lot of us, we have to move on and cross the Jordan River, and it changes the game for us forever. And you and I have to face a lot of things. Let me give you a couple things you're going to, real issues here, okay? You're going to face doubt, number one, doubt. Doubt like self-doubt. I'm not quite sure if I'm the person for this. I'm not quite sure if I can actually do this. I know my family could do this. I don't know if this project or this plan. I've tried to lose weight. I tried. There's a lot of doubt. I don't even know if this is the real thing. Like some people, like I've told them. Like I was talking to a guy at the gym. And I was like, hey, what's your word? I've been like bugging people. What's your word? They're like, stop it, you know. And he wrote the word. He wrote profitability. I was like, okay, that's a word. He's like, yeah, I started another gym, man. I need money. I was like, okay, put it down, whatever. Some people in my gym wrote booty. I don't even know what that means. Why? I was like, what is that? That's terrible. The other words, I know. I shouldn't even ask them in the gym, right? Because then they started throwing out words. I'm like, I'm not repeating that. I'm not putting that down. I'm not doing that. But you might not want to put a word down because you're like, I just don't do that because you doubt. You doubt yourself because you've failed before, and we've all failed. So you're going to deal with doubt. How about expectation? Other people's expectation? I mean, Joshua had to deal with that. Your expectation? It gets complicated. You have all these ideas of like, people expect me to act a certain way, and now I'm going to change, and it's just going to be weird. I mean, there's just so many expectations that you have. Like, well, if this is going to work, if this project is going to work, if I'm going to lose this weight, there's a time limit you put on yourself. There's expectations you put, and you're going to deal with those expectations. You have to. So doubt, expectation, ambiguity is another one. Ambiguity, of course, you're going to. You need to understand when you put this land before you, that you put all this stuff before you, this plan before you, what God has called you to do. There's so much ambiguity. You're like, I don't even understand. Why? Because there's old habits that you're having to deal with because you have to actually fix this to work on that. I mean, it can get like a really, really fuzzy. And what about this? What about complexity? Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like real complexity. Why? Because the stuff that you want to face, some things you want to tackle, it actually depends other people do their job. Like that's the part of the problem, right? Some of the things that you and I want to do, it involves people actually doing what they said they would do. And sometimes what? They don't. It's just so complicated. So complicated. There's so much complexity. And then there's delays, like this idea of delay, 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 delay. It's just delay. I mean, I just wonder, you know, like what was going on in people's minds? Like they were waiting around for the promised land. You know what's really sad about it too? What's sad about it is I don't even know if you know the story of the reaching the promised land. They never did. Did you know that? Like they never really actually did. Like Joshua's all the things that God says, this is my plan, this is my deal. If you would do this, I don't think the people understood. I think Joshua understood, but the people did not. I'm talking about even when they got to the land, they were supposed to go to this space and then there was a political game going on, and they were going to take over people land. And so there was like conflict and war. There was all these things. They took Jericho. They took some other pieces of land, but they didn't take all the land. In fact, it never happened. It never happened. And sometimes what we do is we take scripture and, you know, we throw Disney in it. You know what I'm saying? And they all lived happily ever after. See, guys, just do what these people did. Well, they didn't do it. Joshua died, and he had not completed it. Part of the problem was, is like, well, there's a lot of problems. I think, but the secret of it lies in a couple of those passages where God initially spoke to Joshua. Let me read those to you, okay? Here's why I think it didn't happen. Verses 7, 8, and 9. Let me read those. Verse 7, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." He's kind of giving them a, like, hey, you need to actually do this to last. Your people have to do this to last. I know you started off strong, but to do this, you got to last. Then he goes on. He says, verse 8, he says, hey, but also, keep this book of the law. They were talking about the Torah. He's just like, keep it on your lips. Like, I want you to keep it on your lips. I mean, I don't want you to just like refer to it as a manual. I want you to actually repeat. I want meditation stuff going on. Keep it on your lips day and night. It says, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. It seems like he told them to, he gave them kind of a, some things to do consistently to actually last. Right now I'm going through a book called Your Oxygen Mask First. It's a fun book. It's about, I think it's like 17 habits of high capacity achievers, yada, yada, yada. It's really great. But Kevin Lawrence, he introduces this concept, which is really profound, I thought. He calls it resilience rituals. Resilience rituals. And so as I was diving into the chapter, it challenged me to really think through, am I really a resilient person? So some of you would say, I'm resilient. See, the truth is, either by, like, some of us are just strong. We were just born strong, physically, mentally, or emotionally. I mean, the way we're wired up, some of us just have strength in all those arenas. Natural ability to do that. You can just pick up a lot of weight. You can put up with a lot of stuff. You can go through a lot of things. You're just strong. You're just strong. But there's a difference between being strong and resilient. It's very different. And so it challenged me because I'm like, I can take a lot of stuff. I mean, as I think of my life, I'm like, oh my gosh, the stuff that I've been through. I mean, I think I'm pretty strong. But as he approached this idea, he talked about it, which I think is connected to the verses I just read, this idea of rituals, resilience rituals that feed your resilience. Which he was talking about is like, it's not about being strong enough to handle one situation that life throws at you once in a blue moon. No, it's again and again and again and again and again. And if you're going to be resilient, you have to have rituals that feed you and make you more resilient. And basically, he lists them. I kind of changed the wordings a little bit. I think he puts three categories. It's spirit, soul, and body. He says, if you don't have rituals that feed and grow and nourish your physical body, you're not going to be as resilient as you think. You might be strong enough physically to do one thing, but you're not going to last. And so he's talking about just physical health. What are you doing as a ritual? A ritual means you do this consistently. What are you doing? What are you doing? And so I love, some of you are like, this year I want to make it a ritual. And so it is really important for you to do that. You're like, oh, no, I just, you know, weight is so superficial. No, it's not. Like, your physical health is so important. You got movement. Scientists have even shown us how memory, learning is connected to movement. Your body needs to physically move to be in better shape, to be more resilient. And so what does it look like for you to start a ritual to get that, like a physical resilient ritual, apply that in your life. So last week, We have staff meetings on Tuesdays, and so it's like office days, and everybody comes, and we have like 9 people on staff, and so we show up, and I noticed that some of the ladies were just like, you know, it was the, I was like, I'm just, the outfits you guys have on is pretty interesting, because I'm like, it's not like an office outfit, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what are you guys doing? What are you guys, what's happening? And they were all like, I don't know. They were going to do yoga. Like, they're all, like, dressed in, like workout attire. I was like, hey, is it Casual Tuesdays? Like, I didn't, like, what's going on here? And they're like, oh, no, during lunch, some of the ladies, we're going to do a workout. You want to join? I was like, no, I don't. You know, your chair aerobics is awesome. I'm joking. It's not chair aerobics. It was actually, I think it was Zumba. No, it wasn't. I think it was something. I just loved the fact that they were taking their life schedule and then putting a ritual in there and starting off saying, yeah, we're going to try this. I mean, that's a great example for that. But what about when it comes to, spiritually? Like, what is a ritual? A consistent thing. I read God's word. Allow worship music to actually move me, because music moves you. But there's something powerful in listening to worship music. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you just sat in your car before going into meeting a client or going into a work or just going into the next thing you ought to do for the day? Just stop and just meditate on a passage of scripture, or just prayed, or just silenced your soul to hear what God's saying. It's a ritual. And if you don't have that ritual, I know you're spiritually strong and all that good stuff. It doesn't matter if you read the Bible once throughout the whole time and you're good. It's not that. It's a ritual you got to have. What about mentally? Man, mentally, like, are you allowing yourself space and places to consistently get challenged, where your emotions are processed? I mean, I love my small group because of that, because the conversations we have they're just challenging. They made me think differently, and it's smart to do that. And I didn't even understand the value of this, friends. But I'll tell you this, and that's why I'm making a big deal about this. Like, all the things you have, great ideas, great plans. God's with you. God's got that. You have all the things you can dream up about. But if you and I don't have resilience rituals in our lives, we're going to start strong, but we're not going to finish strong. It is what it is. It's the reality of it. And that's why we have proof of all of these people never really conquering all that God had for them. And for some of us, because we don't have these things in place, we just think we just have to believe more. I mean, yes, but you've got to have things that feed you spiritually, physically and emotionally. You gotta have these things, because they'll make sure you actually last. So what does it look like for you? And how important is it? I think it's extremely, extremely important. So what is this thing, this plan, this project, this path that you and I are going to step into courageously? What is it? And could it be possible that God's saying, I promise you I'll be with you, but I need you to step forward and move in courage? So let me pray for you. Can I do that? Let's stand together. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for this conversation. I pray that more than anything else, God, that we would choose to be strong and courageous. We would choose to be people who move past and decide that we move past discomfort, awkwardness, ambiguity, doubt, complexity, delays. We move past those things. We wrestle through those things. We commit to those and move towards everything you have for us. I think God, for some of us, this morning, it's a brand new year, brand new decade, and we're here because we want to start afresh with you. And so God, I thank you for that. I pray a blessing over each and every person that this morning they're saying, God, I want to know you. Jesus, I give you my life. God, that's their prayer. I thank you for that. And so, God, I also pray for the people here that this morning their prayer is, Jesus, I give you my mind. I give you my spirit. I give you my body. Would you speak to me? Would you challenge me? Would you allow your power to flow through me? And Father, I pray the one prayer that I've prayed for so long over my family, to God, that they would be strong and courageous, knowing that you are with them wherever they go. God, allow us to go as far as our dreams take us. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.